Chapter 12. Duchess did not eat that first night on the farm. Instead, she watched Robin and made sure he finished his bowl. It was some kind of stew, and he looked at her with those eyes that told her he wanted to cry. She fed him the last mouthfuls herself. Hal stood, awkward, watched a while, then moved to the sink and looked out over the land. He was big to Duchess, broad and powerful and imposing. To Robin, he must have looked like a giant. Duchess took their bowls over.
"You need to eat," he said.
"You don't know what I need." She dumped her food into the trash, then led her brother from the kitchen and out onto the porch. Sunset. Burned haze that washed the rolling acres and cannoned from the water. Animals gathered far out, a cluster of elk that faced the falling light.
"Go, run around," she gave him a push.
Robin left her, walked a low hill, found a stick, and dragged it in the dirt. In his other hand, he clutched Captain America. He had not let it from his sight since he woke that morning at Walk's house. She'd already asked him when it was late, and Walk slept. She asked about that night and told him it was all right to tell if he'd heard something. He told her nothing at all. The place where the memory might have been lay in total darkness. She had yet to process the death of her mother, the funeral, the new grave that stood beside Sissy's on the Little Brook Cliff. She wanted to cry, though knew if she did, the grief would settle right there in her chest, not let her breathe when she needed strength most. She would be there for her brother. It was the two of them, the outlaw and her brother.
"I have a ball for him."
She did not turn and did not acknowledge Hal. To think of him as family, his blood to hers. Not there when he was needed, which was too often. She spit in the dirt.
"I know it's been difficult."
"You don't know shit." She let it hang long in the dusk air, the dark sprinting at them so fast it was as if she had blinked away the color.
"I don't like cursing in my house."
"My house?" Walk said it was our home. He looked pained, then she was glad.
"Tomorrow will be different in all kinds of ways. Some you might like and some you might not."
"You don't know what I like and what I don't. Same for my brother." Hal sat on the swing seat, motioned for her to join him, but she would not. The chains pulled on the cedar like they might wrench the soul from the old farmhouse. Her mother had told her about souls, vegetative to rational. She wondered what could be rational about the most base form of life. He smoked a cigar and it carried to her. She wanted to move, but wouldn't, her sandals rooted. Her instinct was to ask him about her mother, about her aunt and Vincent King, about where the fuck they were in the world, the land so different and the sky too vast. She got he would enjoy that, to talk to his granddaughter like a bond would form. She spit in the dirt again. At an hour far from bedtime, Hal sent them up. Duchess struggled with their case. She would not let him help. She changed Robin into his pajamas and then brushed his teeth in the small bathroom that led from their sparse bedroom.
"I want to go home," Robin said.
"I know."
"I'm scared."
"You're a prince." Duchess dragged the nightstand across the scarred wood floor, then heaved and pushed until the beds were joined.
"You'll say your prayers now," he said from the door.
"The fuck we will," she fired back. She watched him take it, hoped to see him flinch, but he did not. He stood there, mouth perfectly straight. She traced his face for a sign of herself, her brother, her mother. Maybe she saw a little of all of them, or maybe he was just an old stranger. A few minutes till Robin moved fully into her bed. He pulled her arm around himself till he slept. In a breath, a steady buzz made its way into her dreams. She reached over and slammed the alarm clock, then sat up quickly, and for a few cruel moments, she thought of calling out to her mother. Robin slept on beside her. She reached across and covered him, and then heard Hal below, the whistle of the kettle, and the heavy step of boots. She lay back, tried to sleep, but saw the light of the hallway tip into the room as Hal climbed the stairs and opened the door.
"Robin?"
Her brother stirred to the old man's voice.
"The animals need their breakfast. Would you like to come help?"
Duchess watched her brother, the thought pattern easy to place.
She had seen how curiously he eyed the barns and the chickens, the big cows and the horses. He climbed from the bed, turned to her till she went and fetched his toothbrush. Below were bowls of porridge. Duchess emptied hers into the trash. She found sugar and spooned some into Robin's bowl. He ate quietly. Hal appeared at the door. Behind him, light mist steamed like a fire burned beneath the land.
Ready to work?
Not a question. Robin finished his juice and hopped down from the chair. Hal reached out a hand, and Robin took it. Duchess watched from the window as they walked toward the barn, the old man speaking words that did not carry. Robin staring up like the last 6 years no longer counted. She pulled on her coat, laced her sneakers, and headed out into dawn air. Behind, mountain sun crept. The promise of something new lay heavy on her chest. Walk had driven through the night, the states and the scenes, all much of the same in the darkness, just signs counting miles, telling him to take a break. Tiredness kills. When he got home, he'd unplugged the telephone, pulled his drapes, and lay, not sleeping, just thinking of Star and Duchess and Robin. Breakfast was 2 Advil and a glass of water, a shower, but no shave. At 8, he arrived to a reporter standing in the lot, Kip Daniels from the Sutler County Tribune. Beside Kip were a couple of vacationers and locals. Walk had heard it on the short ride in that the state of California was preparing to charge Vincent King with the murder of Star Radley. He didn't buy it. Just stations trying to make news.
Nothing new to tell you, I'm afraid.
Anything on the weapon? Kip called.
Nothing.
Charges? Don't believe everything you hear. Vincent was back at Fairmont. That he wouldn't speak, that he was at the scene, it made for a simple puzzle. There was no one else in the frame. State cops occupied the back office, Boyd and his men pulling in locals and making noise. It was winding down already. Inside the station, he found Leah Tallow on the front desk. Lights on the phone blinked frantically.
Crazy in here this morning. You hear the news?
Walk watched her pick up another call and make no comment. They'd called in Luann Miller, a decade older than Walk. She sat behind her desk and ate nuts, a neat collection of shells by the telephone, mute to the furor.
Morning, Walk. Busy in here. Got the butcher in.
Walk stopped and scratched the stubble on his cheek.
Where? Interview room.
What have they got him in for?
Think they tell me anything?
Luann ate another nut, choked a little, and washed it down with coffee.
You need to get some sleep, Walk, and maybe a shave.
He looked around, the appearance of normal. Leah's sister owned the florist on Main and dropped an arrangement in each week. Blue hydrangea, ostromeria, and eucalyptus. Sometimes he thought the station resembled a set, maybe a daytime TV cop show. They played their parts, background extras, nothing more. Where's Boyd? She shrugged.
He said not to talk to the butcher till he gets back.
He found Milton in the small room at the back of the station that they might have used for interviews, had they ever had to take a statement. Milton clutched his chest, massaging like he needed to get his heart firing again. Stripped of his apron, Walk still smelled blood, as if it were matted to every hair that carpeted Milton's body. Walk shoved his hands deep into his pockets. He found himself doing that more now. The drugs again, nothing helping. Milton stood.
I don't know why they told me to hang around. I have to get on. I came to them, after all.
With what? Milton looked at his shoes, loosened his collar, and fired his cuffs. He'd dressed for the occasion.
Remembered something.
And?
I like to look out, right? Watch the water, the sky. Got my Celestron, computerized now. You should come over one time and we could...
Walk held up a hand, too tired for it.
That night before the shot, I think I heard yelling. Had my window open. I was broiling a little rabbit, you know, leave it overnight, soften the bones.
Think you heard?
Milton looked to the lights above. I heard yelling. An argument.
And this has only come to you now?
I could be in shock still. Maybe it's wearing off.
Walk stared at him. You see dark that night? A moment before he shook his head. Maybe a couple seconds, but Walk caught it. There had been mention of Dickie Dark's name in connection, but that mention had come from Walk himself,
Duchess wouldn't say anything about the man. Walk wondered if she was scared.
Brandon Rock, Milton puffed out his chest. The car. This morning I get up early and that guy comes home at all hours. I need my sleep, Walk.
I'll talk to him.
You know, we had another person drop out of the watch. It's like they don't care about the neighborhood anymore.
How many are you down to now?
Milton sniffed. Just me and Etta Constance. But she can't watch all that much with the one eye, peripheral.
He waved a hand around for effect.
I sleep better knowing the two of you are looking out. I document it all, big suitcase under my bed.
Walk could only imagine the kind of notes the man kept.
I was watching a show and the cop took a civilian on a ride along. You ever thought about that, Walk? I could bring a little codicino, spice up the cabin.
And then after we could... Walk heard noise outside and turned as Boyd filled the doorway. Broad, buzz cut, soldier to cop. Walk followed him out. Boyd led him to his own office and then sat heavily in his chair.
You want to tell me what's going on?
Walk said.
Boyd leaned back and stretched, his shoulders big as he steepled fingers behind his neck. I just got back from the DA's office. We're going to charge Vincent King with the murder of Star Radley.
Walk knew it would come, but hearing it straight from Boyd still rocked him.
The butcher told us he saw Vincent King get into it with Dickie Dark a few nights prior. Said it looked like Vincent was warning him off. Jealous, right outside the Radley house.
And what does Dark say about this?
Corroborates. He came in with his lawyer. Big fucker, right? Sounds like he was seeing the victim, though he says they were just friends. Milton the Butcher, he's called a lot over the years, likes to watch the town, you know, he gets excited.
He sees things that maybe aren't there. Boyd licked his teeth and pursed his lips. He was always moving, like holding still would see his middle fill out and his hairline race back. Strong smell of cologne. Walk eyed the window and wanted to pop it open.
We've got Vincent at the scene. Prints. His DNA on her. She had 3 broken ribs. His left hand was swollen. He won't deny it. Won't say anything.
It's easy, Walker.
No residue, Walk said.
The gun, no residue, and no gun.
Boyd rubbed his chin. You said the faucet was running. He washed his hands. The gun. We've had people out everywhere, but we'll find it. He kills her, loses the gun, returns, and calls it in.
Doesn't make sense.
We've had the ballistics report back. The bullet they pulled was .357 Magnum, hell of a kick. We ran the address, and it turns out Vincent King's father had a gun registered in the mid-70s.
Walk watched the man, not liking where he was going.
Walk remembered it. A couple of threats were made toward the King, serious enough for Vincent's father to keep a gun. See if you can guess the caliber, Walker.
Walk stayed even, despite the way his stomach flipped.
The DA wanted more. Now we've got the motive and access to the murder weapon. We'll go for the death penalty.
Walk shook his head.
There's still people we need to talk to. I want to go over Dickie Dark's alibi again. And then there's Milton. And I'm not sure...
Leave it alone, Walker. It's open and shut.
I want to hand it over to the DA by the end of the week. We've got enough on.
Then we'll be out of your hair.
But I really think... Listen, it's all right what you've got going on here. I've got a cousin that works in Alson Cove, and he loves it. The pace is slow, the work is easy. There's nothing wrong with that. But when was the last time you worked a real case? I mean, something more than a misdemeanor.
Walk had not worked more than an infraction.
Boyd reached over and gripped his shoulder tight. Don't fuck this up for us.
Walk swallowed, the wheels turning frantic.
If he pleads. If I can get him to plead?
Boyd met his eye. Didn't say it, but didn't have to.
Vincent King would die for this.
Chapter 13. Clouds cascaded down the mountain behind, framing the farmhouse like it belonged in a print. She worked, legs heavy, the skin on her hands torn beneath her gloves. Whatever job he gave, mucking, cutting back the long vines by the house, shifting branches from the winding driveway, she did with quiet hatred. Hal, playing grandfather now, her mother was deep in the ground. The funeral had been shamefully quiet. Walk had fished out an old necktie for Robin, the same he'd worn when his own mother passed. Robin had held her hand through it,
the priest trying to lead them from their broken lives. Talk of God's need for another angel, like he knew nothing of the tortured soul that had been taken.
"We'll break for lunch now," the old man snapped her from the memory.
"I'm not hungry."
"You have to eat."
She turned her back on him, reached for her brush, and swept dirt from the cracked driveway with hard strokes. 10 minutes, then Duchess dropped her brush and walked back, slow. At the house, she stepped up onto the porch and looked through the window. Hal, with his back to her, her brother eating a sandwich, coming up ahead over the table. He had a cup of milk. She walked through the back door and into the kitchen, cheeks burning hot. At the table, she picked up Robin's cup and emptied the milk into the sink, rinsed it, and pulled a carton of juice from the refrigerator.
"I can drink milk at lunch. I don't even mind," Robin said.
"No, you can't. You drink juice like you did it."
"Duchess," Hal said.
"You shut up," she turned to him. "You don't say my name. You don't fucking say it. You don't know anything about me or my brother."
Robin began to cry.
"Enough now," Hal said, gentle.
"You don't tell me enough." She was breathless, shaking, the anger coming up so hot she could barely control it.
"I said, fuck you."
He stood then, raised a hand and brought it down hard on the table, sending his plate to the floor. It smashed on the stone and Duchess flinched, and then she turned and ran. Past the water and the driveway, arms pumping across the long grass and into the rough and toward the trees. She didn't stop till she had to, till she took a knee and swallowed mouthfuls of warm, heavy air. She cursed him out, kicked a thick oak, and felt pain shoot back through her. She screamed at the trees, so loud birds lifted and speckled the clouds. She thought of her home, the day after the funeral. What little they owned outright was boxed by Walk. Nothing in the checking account, $30 in her mother's purse, nothing passed down. She walked a mile before the Douglas fir thinned. She was mucky and sweaty, her hair damp and knotted. She slowed a little and walked the center line of a road, counting off broken lines. Beside was grass and wood, edging out a river in the distance and moving on, the sky all blue forgiveness. Sometimes she expected more, a clue, something wilting or graying or not carrying on, something that told her the world was a different place now her mother was dead. A sign announced the town, Copper Falls, Montana. A line of stores, orange brick too new for the scene, flat roofs and fading awning, flags that fell limp. Bleached signs long forgot, Bush and Kerry, stars and stripes. A diner, Hunter's Welcome, convenience, pharmacy, laundromat. A bakery that made her mouth water. She stood and looked in, saw old couples at each table eating pastry and drinking coffee. Outside, a man sat and read a newspaper. She passed a barber, the old kind with the glass pole and the offer of a shave. Beside it, a beauty salon, women in chairs, heat reaching out the open door. At the end of the street was a mountain that held a horizon, so towering like a challenge or reminder there was plenty bigger out there. She passed a small, skinny black boy. He stood on the sidewalk, coat over his arm despite the 80 degrees, watching her intently. He wore slacks and a bow tie, suspenders pulled, the pants high enough to highlight white socks. He would not turn, no matter how hard she glared.
"What the fuck you looking at?
Some kind of angel?"
She took in the bow tie with a shake of her head.
"I'm Thomas Noble."
He continued to look, mouth a little open.
"Stop staring, you freak."
She pushed him and he fell back onto his ass. He looked up at her through thick lenses.
"That was worth it, just to feel your touch."
"Ugh, is everyone in this town retarded?"
She felt his eyes on her all the way to the top of the street. She took a seat on a bench and watched the pace, so slow her eyes weighed heavy. A lady stopped beside, maybe 60. So much glamour, Duchess stole glances. Towering heels, lipstick, and stinking of perfume, her hair falling in waves like she'd just stepped from the salon. She set her bag down, Chanel, and jammed in beside.
"This summer."
A kind of accent Duchess didn't know.
I keep telling my Bill to fix the air conditioner, but you reckon he has?
I reckon I don't give a shit, and maybe Bill doesn't either.
She laughed at that, slipped a cigarette into a holder, and lit it.
Sounds like you know him. Or maybe you've got a daddy like him. Start a job and lose interest quick.
That's men for you, sweetheart.
Duchess exhaled, hoping to ward her off with attitude alone. The lady reached into her shopping bag and pulled out a smaller paper bag. She took out a donut, then offered one to Duchess. Duchess tried to ignore her, but the lady shook the bag a little, like she was enticing a wary animal.
You ever had one of Cherry's donuts?
She persisted, shook the bag until Duchess took a donut, sugar falling onto her jeans as she bit into it carefully.
Best donut you've ever had?
Average. The lady laughed like she'd made a joke.
I could eat a dozen, maybe. You ever tried to eat one without licking your lips?
Why the fuck would I do that?
Let's give it a go, then.
Harder than it sounds.
Maybe for an old lady.
Only as old as the man you feel.
How old is Bill?
75.
Heavy laugh.
Duchess ate, felt the sugar on her lips, but didn't lick them. She watched the lady do it, too, for a while, fighting it like an itch, and then she licked her lips, and Duchess pointed, and the lady laughed so raucous Duchess fought a smile.
I'm Dolly, by the way. Like Parton, only without the chest.
Duchess said nothing for a while, just letting it hang there, feeling Dolly look over once, then away.
I'm an outlaw. You probably shouldn't be seen conversing with me.
You've got swagger. Not enough do in this world.
Clay Allison's gravestone read, "He never killed a man that did not need killing." That's swagger.
So, does the outlaw have a name?
Duchess Day Radley.
A look. Not pity, but close.
I know your grandfather.
I'm real sorry about your mother.
Duchess felt it in her chest then, a tightening like she couldn't breathe.
She looked down at the street, locked on her sneakers, eyes too hot.
Dolly stubbed out her cigarette, didn't even take a single drag.
You didn't smoke it.
Dolly smiled, neat, blinding white teeth.
Smoking is bad for you. Ask my Bill.
So why then?
My daddy caught me smoking once. Beat me something awful. But I kept it up on the sly. I didn't even like the taste.
You must think I'm a mad old bat.
Yes.
Duchess felt a hand on her shoulder. He stood, smiling wide, curls matted with sweat, dirt beneath his nails.
I'm Robin. Pleased to meet you, Robin. I'm Dolly.
Like Parton?
But without the tits, Duchess added.
Mom liked Dolly Parton. She used to sing it, that song about working 9 to 5.
Ironic, seeing as she never could hold down a job.
Dolly shook his hand and told him he was just about the most handsome boy she'd ever seen.
Duchess saw Hal across the street, leaning on the hood of the old truck.
I'll see you soon, I hope.
Dolly handed Robin a donut and left them, headed back down the street, nodding at Hal as she passed.
Grandpa was scared. Please don't make trouble. I'm an outlaw, kid. Trouble finds me.
He stared up with sad eyes.
Try and eat that donut without licking your lips.
He looked at the donut.
Too easy. Go on, then.
He took a bite and licked his lips right off.
You just licked them.
Did not.
They walked back down the sidewalk, the sky covering over, those rolling clouds chasing the day so fast.
I miss her.
She squeezed his hand. She still hadn't decided if she felt the same. 30 years in the same room, steel toilet and basin, walls dug out and scrawled, a door that slid open and closed at set times each day.
Walk stood outside Fairmont County Correctional Facility and took in the sun, high and merciless, no matter the month.
He glanced up at the camera, watched men in the yard, the chain links, turning them into puzzle pieces that did not fit anywhere at all.
I could never get used to the colors. Everything looks washed out.
Cuddy laughed.
Missing your blue, Walk?
Cuddy lit a cigarette, offered Walk one, but he waved him off.
You ever smoke?
Never even tried it.
They watched men shoot hoops, bare chests, sweating. A man fell, got up and squared off, but caught sight of Cuddy and squashed it quick. The game went on, the ferocity, life or death, and no room for the between.
It got to me, this one, Cuddy said.
Walk turned, but Cuddy kept his eyes on the game.
But then I used to think some people weren't meant for this place. When I started out working the floor, I'd see them bring in a white collar, a lawyer, or a banker, or something. And I'd think they don't belong here. But then maybe there aren't degrees of bad. Maybe it doesn't matter by how much you cross the line.
Most people get near, at least once in their life.
Not you, Walk.
There's still time.
Vincent crossed when he was 15. My father worked that night they brought him in. News crews were here. I remember the jury called it late.
Walk remembered, too.
My father said it, worst night of his life. You can only imagine the things he saw booking in a kid, watching the men, arms through bars, calling. A couple were all right, supportive even, but most, you know, keep the noise up, welcome him that way.
Walk clutched the fence, fingers through the diamonds, the air beyond just as hard to breathe.
I was 19 my first day here. Cuddy stubbed out a cigarette and kept hold of the butt. 4 years older than Vincent. I worked his unit on 3. Shit, I used to look at him and see a kid, same as everyone. Maybe a kid from my school, maybe a little brother, whatever. I liked him right off.
Walk smiled.
I thought about him at home when I was on vacation, when I caught a movie with a girl I liked.
Yeah?
His life and mine, they aren't all that different, save for a single mistake. And it was that. Child's life. Jesus. 2 children, if you count Vincent. If he's back here, if he came to nothing, it's more tragic, right? More of a waste.
Walk had tried out those same ideas.
I was happy when you came and got him. End one chapter, too long. Start a new one.
He had the time, Walk. We're not all that old, you know.
I know.
Walk thought of the disease, how it twisted him into someone he was not ready to be.
Sometimes people complained I favored him, said I gave him more time in the yard and shit.
I did. I did all I could to give him it. Life, partial life, whatever.
We're not supposed to question guilt. We do our jobs, right?
We do.
I never asked this question. I never asked it, not once in 30 years here.
He didn't do it, Cuddy. Cuddy breathed heavily like he'd been holding that question a long time, and then he turned and opened the gate.
I got your room.
Thank you.
Walk had been dreading talking through the phones, easier to stay distant with plexiglass between them. Cuddy led him to an office, empty of everything but a metal table and 2 chairs. The place for lawyer and client, lines fed, appeal and hope, and which circuit to exhaust next. Vincent filed in, Cuddy uncuffed him, looked over at Walk, then left them.
What the hell are you doing? Walk said.
Vincent took the seat opposite and crossed his legs.
You've lost weight, Walk.
Another 2 pounds. He ate breakfast and nothing more, just drank coffee. He had a pain in his stomach. Not sharp, just heavy and constant. Like his body was turning in on him again.
His new pills were still doing their job, helping him stay steady, helping him stand and walk, and almost take both of those things for granted.
You want to tell me what's going on?
I sent you a letter.
I got it.
I'm sorry.
I meant it.
And everything else in there.
I meant that too.
I won't put the house up, maybe after the trial, once we know the future.
Vincent looked pained, like he'd called on a favor and found Walk all out. He'd been clear, the letter, his writing, so graceful. Walk read it twice. Sell the house, take the offer, $1 million from Dickie Dark.
I already have the check, I just needed to take care of the paperwork.
Walk shook his head.
Just wait, and we'll...
You look like shit, Vincent said.
I'm fine. They settled back to silence.
Duchess and Rob and the boy, the little boy.
He said the names quietly, like he wasn't worthy of speaking them.
You need something, Vincent. We can talk about it. We can sort something out, but I think you need to take some time on it.
That's something I do have.
Walk took a stick of gum from his pocket and offered one over.
Contraband, Vincent said.
Right.
Walk stared at him, looking for something he couldn't see. Not guilt, not remorse. He toyed with the idea that Vincent missed it, institutionalized. He didn't buy it. It didn't fit at all. Vincent looked away, all the time, never meeting his eye for longer than a blink.
I know, Vin.
What do you know?
That you didn't do it.
Guilt is decided long before the act is committed. People just don't realize it. They think they have a choice. They look back, play it different, sliding doors, but they never really did.
You won't speak because you know I'll tie you up. You can't keep a consistent lie.
That's not, if you did it, where's the gun? Vincent swallowed.
I do need you to instruct a lawyer for me.
Walk breathed out, smiled, and tapped the table with the flat of his hand.
Yes, good. I know a couple of guys, good trial lawyers.
I want Martha May.
Walk stopped tapping.
Excuse me?
Martha May, I want her and no one else.
She works family law. She's the only lawyer I want.
Walk let it settle a while.
What's your angle here?
Vincent kept his eyes down.
What the hell is wrong with you? 30 years I've been waiting for you.
Walk slammed the table with his hand.
Come on, Vincent. You weren't... Your life, it wasn't the only one on hold.
You think our lives have been close to the same?
That's not what I meant. It was hard on all of us. Star.
Vincent stood.
Wait.
What is it, Walk? What do you need to say?
Boyd and the DA? They're going for death.
The word hung there.
You tell Martha to come see me. I'll sign papers.
It'll be a capital case. Jesus, Vincent. Think about what you're doing.
Vincent knocked the door and signaled the guard.
I'll see you, Walk.
That half smile again, the smile that took him back 30 years and kept Walk from giving up on his friend.
Chapter 14. They slept till 8 that first Sunday. Duchess woke first. Her brother pressed close to her, his face washed gold. He caught the sun quick. She stepped from the bed into the bathroom and caught the shape of her face in the mirror. She'd lost weight, skinny to start, her cheeks now hollowed, collarbones proud. Each day she looked more like her mother, so much that Robin told her that she should eat something. As she walked out and into the hallway, she saw it. A dress. Flowers on it, maybe daisies. Beside was a hanger, and on it a smart cotton shirt and dark slacks, the tag still on, size 4 to 5. She took the stairs slow, still learning the noises of the old house. At the kitchen door, she stood and watched him. Shoes shined, tie, stiff collar. Though she was certain she made no sound, he turned.
I left your dress out. We go to church on a Sunday. Canyon View, we don't miss it.
Don't say we like you mean me and my brother.
The kids like it at the church. They have cake after. I already told Robin and he was all right.
Robin, Judas, would do anything for cake.
You go to church, we'll stay here.
I can't leave you alone.
You have for 13 years.
He took it.
You didn't even buy the right size. Robin is 6. You bought 4 to 5. You don't even know how old your own grandson is.
Hal swallowed.
I'm sorry.
She walked over and poured herself coffee.
What makes you think there's a God anyway?
He pointed in the direction of the window. She turned and looked out.
I don't see nothing at all.
You do, Duchess. You see it all.
I know you do.
I know what I do see. He looked up, tensed a little, like he was more than ready for it.
I see the shell of a man who's made a decent mess of his own life, who's got no friends and no family and no one to give a shit when he drops dead.
She smiled, innocent.
Probably happen in his field, his special fucking land painted in God's color. He'll lay there till his skin is green, till the oil tank comes and the delivery guy sees the crows, 100 crows amongst the wheat. The animals will have torn him up by then. But it won't matter, because they'll stick him straight in the ground. No one to mourn.
She saw a slight tremble in his hand as he picked up his coffee.
She wanted to go on. Maybe she'd talk of her aunt, her darling, beautiful aunt, whose grave would have gone untended because her mother couldn't face it, and Hal had left her so totally alone. If it wasn't for her riding the hill, picking the wildflower, Sissy would have just rotted alone. But then she looked up and saw her brother at the door. Robin climbed up onto the chair opposite Hal.
I dreamed about cake.
Hal watched Duchess.
You'll come to church, won't you?
Robin stared at her, and she saw it in his eyes, that need for her.
Please, Duchess. Not for God, just for the cake.
She climbed the stairs and snatched the dress down from where it hung above the bedroom door, swinging on the frame. In the bathroom, she opened the cabinet, fished through Band-Aids and soap and shampoo, found a pair of scissors, and got to work. She cut it short, the daisies stopping high on her pale thighs. A couple of random slashes, showing her back, the top of her stomach. She didn't run a brush through her hair, just tussled till it was wild. She dug her old sneakers out from beneath the bed and kicked the new sandals across the floor. She had a cut on her knee, grazes from crops that stood as tall as her, and a scar on her arm that she knew would not heal. If she'd had a bust, she'd have cut the dress low in front. They were outside when she came down. Hal had washed the truck the day before. Robin helped him, the two of them soaping it up beneath the falling sun, rinsing it off and wiping it down with a worn chamois.
Oh, Jesus, Robin said when he saw her.
Hal stopped, stared, took it, then climbed into the truck. They passed another farm, a line of transmission towers, white, rusted brown, the steady hum of lines lost beneath the rattle of the engine. East a pipe rose from the land like a worm feeling the first drum of rain. It carried 500 yards, then buried. 10 minutes and they passed a lone sign hammered into the dirt. The Treasure State.
Did that say treasure?
She patted Robin's knee. She read with him nightly, 10 minutes. He was smart. Already she could see that. Too smart for her and Star. She worried he'd slip behind. Old life, tugging him back like vines around his feet. Minerals. Hal kept a hand on the wheel but turned once and raised his eyebrows at Robin.
Oro y plata, gold and silver.
Robin tried a whistle but never could get much of a sound. West was the flathead. So far, Duchess could not make out the buffalo. She could see prairies, hundreds of something, cattle maybe. And the headwaters, that water that flows through the rest of the country, starts out here. Robin did not whistle at that. They turned. A sign told them it was Canyon View Baptist. The only view she could see was more browns. The church, vernacular, wood and white, the gable front splintering and the bell tower low enough to throw stones at.
You couldn't find a shittier church?
There were cars and trucks in the small lot. Duchess climbed out into sunlight and stared around. 50 miles out, wind turbines spun. An old lady wandered over, smiled wide, liver spots and hanging skin, like the earth was calling the flesh to be buried, but her brain was too stubborn to seed it.
Morning, Agnes, Hal said. This is Duchess and Robin.
Agnes extended a skeletal hand. Robin shook it with great care, like he worried it might come free and he'd be tasked with fixing the mess.
Oh my, that's a pretty dress, Agnes said.
This old rag? I thought it was a little short, but Hal said the priest would enjoy it greatly. Agnes kept her smile, though confusion tried hard to replace it. Duchess led Robin off toward the church. There was a cluster of kids by the side window, neat hair, every one of them smiling.
Must be retarded, Duchess said.
Can we go play with them?
No, they'll try and steal your soul.
Robin looked up at her, trying to search for a smile. She held firm.
How will they steal it?
They'll distract you with unrealistic ideals.
She fussed with his hair and pushed him toward them, nodding when he turned back.
Your sister's dress is gross, a little girl said.
Duchess walked over, the kids all watching her careful. The girl looked past her and waved at a large lady wearing purple eyeshadow.
Is that your mom?
The barb took form. The girl nodded. Robin looked up at her, pleading in his eyes.
We have to go inside now, Duchess said, swallowing it down.
Robin breathed again.
They sat on a bench at the back of the church. Dolly strutted in, towering heels and a wave of perfume. She winked at Duchess. Robin sat between them and asked Hal questions about God that could not be answered by the living. The priest led them, spoke of places far, war and famine and the desecration of kindness. Duchess let it roll over her till he mentioned death and new beginning, the climax of a plan so vast we should not try to understand or question it. She watched Robin, rapt, knowing certain where his mind was. When they bowed their heads in prayer, she found Star's face behind her eyes, so clear and untroubled she wanted to cry out. She felt tears well, so kept them locked tight. And when the old priest spoke again, she stayed bowed, stayed locked to the gateway, for fear she would lose that last image she was not yet ready to. She felt a hand on her, a big hand, reaching over her brother and trying to offer her comfort when she needed it least.
"Fuck you," she whispered. "Fuck all of you."
She stood and ran from the church, so fast and so far she could scarcely hear the call of damnation, pressing her into the dirt. She sat in the long grass and tried to breathe herself calm. She did not notice Dolly until she came to sit beside her. "Nice dress?" Duchess ripped up a handful of grass and tossed it into the light breeze. "I won't ask if you're all right."
"Good."
Duchess stole a glance at her, bright lips and smoked eyes, hair curled. She wore a cream skirt, navy top cut low, and silk scarf. So much a woman, Duchess felt even more a girl.
"That's a lot of tit for church. I'd take my bra off and they'd roll down the aisle."
Duchess did not laugh.
"It's all bullshit in there."
Dolly lit her cigarette, the smoke just about covering the perfume.
"I see you, Duchess."
"What do you see?"
"I used to hate like that. The flames get too hot sometimes, right?"
The cigarette flared a little in the breeze. Duchess went back to tearing at the grass.
"You don't know shit about me. I know you're still young enough. I didn't work it out till I was old."
"Work out what?"
"That I wasn't alone in the world."
Duchess climbed to her feet.
"I know I'm not alone. I've got my brother. And I don't need anyone else. Not Hal, not you, and not God."
Bitterwater was a sprawl of concrete and steel. Storefronts papered with flyers for bars and bands and cheap liquor. 20 miles inland from the Cape, the kind of place where something critical went wrong during planning meets. Walk past rows of industrial units, shipping containers, stacked, self-storage and trade supplies, before he found the place. The law office of Martha May, part of a strip mall on the edge of town, was sandwiched between a dry cleaner and a Mexican place that advertised 89-cent tacos. Walk left the cruiser in a spot and crossed the lot. Bitterwater Dental, Spirit Electronics, Red Dairy, a salon where a masked Asian woman sprayed the nails of a tired-looking mother who rocked a stroller with her foot. Above the sky, grayed, and beside the neon blinked. Tacos. He pushed the door and was met by wall-to-wall people. All women, all with kids, and the kind of eyes that told similar sorry stories. There was a desk, a secretary pushing 70, blue hair and pink frames. She smacked gum as she typed, cradled a phone between her ear and shoulder, and winked at a little girl who was screaming the place down. Walk stepped out again. He sat in the car till 6, counted off the levers, and watched the secretary climb into a rusting Bronco and spent a good minute firing the engine. When she was gone, he crossed the lot. The Mexican place was warming up with weary office workers sipping beer in the window. He tried the shop door but found it locked, so he knocked a couple of times. He heard her on the other side of the frosted glass.
"We're closed. You have to come back tomorrow. Sorry."
"Martha, it's Walk."
A minute till he heard the lock snap. And then there she was. They eyed each other for a moment. Martha May, brown hair framed an elfin face. She wore a gray suit. Walk almost smiled when he saw the Chuck Taylors she paired with it. He thought of moving for a hug, but she turned.
no smile. She led him to her office, which was nicer than he was expecting. Oak desk, potted plant, and wall-to-wall law books. She sat, then motioned for him to follow.
It's been a long time, Ork.
It has.
I'd offer you coffee, but I'm too beat.
It's nice to see you, Martha. Finally, a smile. And it got him the way it always had.
I'm so sorry about Star. I wanted to come, but I had a court date and couldn't move it.
I got the flowers.
Those kids. Jesus.
There were files on her desk, stacked neatly but towering high. They talked a while about Star, the shock of it, and the way Boyd had taken over. He made it sound like he was on the case, too. There was something strained there, the only way it could be when two people who've seen each other naked reconvene.
And Vincent?
He didn't do it. She walked over to the window and looked out at a view of the highway behind. He heard the passing cars, the occasional horn, the roar of a motorcycle. You've done well here, Martha. She tilted her head a little.
Why, thank you, Walk. Your approval means so much to me.
I didn't mean...
I'm too tired for small talk. You want to tell me what you want?
His mouth dried. He didn't want to be there, calling on the kind of favor he had no way of repaying. Vincent wants you. She turned.
Wants me how?
Wants you as his lawyer.
I know how that sounds.
She laughed.
Do you, Walk? Because the way I hear, you don't have a goddamn clue.
She took a breath and calmed. There was a plaque on the wall, Southwestern, and a corkboard beside with cards and photos of smiling mothers and their kids.
I'm not a criminal lawyer.
I know that. I told him.
No, that's my answer.
All right. I asked. She smiled.
Still doing Vincent King's bidding.
I'd do anything to stop an innocent man being put to death.
It's a capital case?
Yes. She slumped in her chair, kicked her sneakers up onto the desk.
I can recommend someone.
I already tried that. She fished a candy from a bowl, peanut M&Ms.
Why the hell does he want me?
30 years in there, it's easy to forget. You and me are all he's got now.
I don't even know him, and I don't even know you anymore, Walk.
I haven't changed all that much.
That's what I'm afraid of.
He laughed. You want to grab something to eat and catch up? He spoke quietly, his cheeks beginning to redden. If you've got 89 cents, I know a great taco place.
Can I be honest, Walk?
Sure.
I've spent a long time leaving Cape Haven behind. I don't want to head back there.
He stood, smiled, and walked out the door. Chapter 15. Walk watched the slow wake of Maine. Milton stood bloodied, laying out cuts with an eye for the artistry, brisket and prime and short. Walk bought his steak there at a price that vacationers wouldn't get near. He'd just got off the phone with Hal. He'd check in weekly, check on Robin, maybe the only one who might have heard something that night. Hal said they'd found a doctor, a shrink, a lady that worked out of her home 20 miles from the Radley farm. They mentioned no names, no towns. Walk was overly cautious.
You want coffee?
Leah said from the door. Walk shook his head. You all right, Leah?
Tired.
Some days it was clear she'd been crying, red eyes swollen. Walk guessed it was Ed. He'd always had an eye. Walk reasoned men were just wired different. Flawed design. Fucking idiots.
I need to get on those files soon, the state of that back room.
She'd been writing him about it for years, a change of system, new forms. It was no secret Walk liked things the way they were. Every time an application was put through to pull down an old house and replace it, he lodged an objection. The state cops had gone, left a trail of hamburger wrappers and coffee cups, with Boyd promising to keep him updated.
You reckon I could pick up some extra shifts? I mean, I know I'm doing the days, but I wonder if you needed me to hang around later?
Everything all right, Leah?
You know how it is. Got one heading off to college, and Ricky wants some video game.
Sure, I'll sort something out. They had a limited budget, but he'd make it stretch for her. Ed owned Tallow Construction, and she used to work admin there, but then the market turned on them. Still, he wondered if that was all it was. She seemed to be at the station more, at the beach, anywhere but home with her husband. She had the file open, Star staring back. The reports were in now. Beside that, he had Vincent's file. He'd spent the previous night looking back 30 years. He read transcripts, the first, looking into the death of Sissy Radley. And then he'd looked at the second, the prison brawl that got out of hand. The dead man's name was Baxter Logan, and the way Walk read it, he was the kind of person the world was well shot of. He was already serving life for the abduction and murder of a young realtor named Annie Clavers. Walk read the interview, Vincent's voice clear in his mind.
I did it. We got into it. I hit him, and he went down and didn't get up again. I don't remember much else.
I don't know what more to tell you, Cuddy. You give me something to sign, and I'll sign it.
Three more pages, and Cuddy had explained the facts, tried to coax and lead in that subtle way Walk saw so clear. Let us call it self-defense, because everyone knew that's what it was.
It wasn't self-defense, just a fight. Doesn't matter who started it.
The state went in heavy again, settled on second-degree murder. Vincent settled on 20 years, tacked on. He picked up the phone and called Cuddy. Got him after 5 minutes.
I'm looking through the Vincent King file.
Cuddy sniffed like he was fighting a cold.
I thought Boyd was done with that.
He is.
Right.
The report I got, Vincent King and Baxter Logan, there's not much detail in the autopsy.
That's all we've got, I'm afraid.
Logan died when he hit the stone floor. 24 years ago, Walk. Reports weren't as detailed. How's Vincent doing? He heard the big man lean back in his chair, the leather stretching.
He doesn't speak, not even to me.
Did he see himself on the news? The locals were ramping up the pressure on the DA to finally bring the charges.
He doesn't have a TV.
Walk frowned.
But I thought, oh, he could have one. I've offered many times.
So what does he do in there? Silence. A long time. Cuddy?
He's got a picture of the girl, Sissy Radley. He's got it on the wall. And that's the only thing in that cell.
Walk closed his eyes as Cuddy told him to stay in touch. He checked the report. The autopsy was carried about by David Udo, M.D. He gave an address and phone number. He called it, got an answering machine, and left a message. 24 years, he doubted the man was still there, and if he was, Walk wondered what the hell he'd ask him. He was trying to be a cop, to work a case as best he could. Despite Boyd's warning, he'd push on. He just didn't know which direction to head in. Luann Miller came in, sat down opposite, not talking, just watching the window like always. Walk flipped a page and stared at Star, her hair fanned behind, arm bent at an angle like she was reaching out for someone to help her.
You need to tidy this office.
Luann looked at the stacked papers, the mess all over.
I want to talk to Dark myself.
Because you'll do better than the state cops? You're tough like that?
I've known Dark since—
Nothing, Walk, that's what that means. Nothing. Look at Vincent King, and I see you looking his way like you expect him to still be the kid that left here 30 years back. He's gone, though. Whatever you knew about him, it left him the day he stepped into Fairmont.
You're wrong.
Serious, Walk. I know you didn't change, but everyone else did.
Out the window, Walk saw the colors too bright, blues and white, polished glass and bleached flags.
So what else is there? She said.
Burglary. The place was trashed.
But nothing missing. More like a fight that got out of hand.
Milton's lying.
No good reason for that.
Let's go burglary. Could be Star disturb them, he said. Again, reaching. So far he almost stumbled over his words.
Now all of this, what you're saying, you have to discount the fact that we found a man sitting in the house, her blood on his shirt, his prints all over everything, possible motive.
No way, he fired back quick.
And yet here we are, on a hunch.
Vincent won't say a word. He won't say why. He won't say how he got in, what time it happened. Shit, he called it in himself from their phone. He was vicious.
Star. How many ribs did he break?
You've got the photos in front of you.
He looked at them again, the marks angry across her chest, blue to purple, streaks upon broken bones. There was feeling involved, a kind of hatred so hot, Walk could feel it searing.
And the swelling by her eye.
He's there, however he got in, no sign of a break-in. She invites him in, something happens.
He beats her, shoots her dead, runs, hides the weapon, returns and sits down in the kitchen, calls it in, and waits for us.
The kid, Robin, he's locked in his bedroom mercifully, but there's a chance he heard something.
Walk stood and opened the window to the call of another perfect morning.
An hour or two at his desk, that's all he could ever take.
I need to talk to Dark, he said again.
There's history with Star. He's violent.
Alibi is tight.
That's why I've called her in.
Boyd said to leave it alone. Don't fuck with the state case.
Walk took a deep breath. Everything's swimming, nothing clear at all other than the fact he knew Vincent.
No matter what Luann said, he knew Vincent King.
Fuck the 30 years. He knew his friend.
You need to shave, Walk.
So do you. She laughed at that. And then Leah called through and told him Dee Lane was waiting. He found her at the desk, then led her through to the compact office in the back.
A small table, four chairs, and a wide vase bursting with vendela roses.
View, out over Maine, more grandmother's guest house and interrogation room.
Dee looked better than the last time he'd seen her. She wore a simple yellow summer dress and her hair was styled. A little makeup, just enough to push the soft in front of the hard. She carried a paper bag and handed it over to him.
Peach galettes, she said by way of greeting. I know how much you like them.
Thank you. He had no tape recorder, no pad or pen. I already spoke to the officers from state police.
I'm just running over things. You want a coffee?
She dropped her shoulders a little.
Sure, Walk.
He left her, found Leah, and asked her to put a pot on. When he returned, Dee was standing by the window.
It looks different out there, she said. Maine, the new stores and the new faces.
I mean, it was gradual, right?
You know about the application for new homes.
It won't pass.
She turned, sat again, and crossed her legs.
You think I'm weak.
With Dark.
Just trying to understand it.
He showed up, bought me flowers, and told me he was sorry. One thing led to another.
Tell me how it started with him.
He came into the bank, opened a checking account. I thought he was... cute isn't the right word to describe the guy. He was quiet but tough. Shit, Walk, I don't know what to say. He came in a few more times, always got in my line. I asked him out. He said, yeah.
That's how it goes, right?
Before, you said there was nothing natural about him. I was pissed, the house. I was lashing out. I'll tell you one thing about him.
What?
He was good with my girls. Attentive. He used to watch them, push them on the swings, you know? Just be with them. One time I came in from the yard and found him with Molly on his lap, watching a Disney movie. There's not many guys that would take to another man's kids.
Leah brought the coffee and left them.
His hand shook as he took his cup, so bad he set it down again. You all right, Walk? You look tired.
And maybe you need a shave. I mean, no offense or nothing.
So he stayed all night.
Dark?
I kicked him out early before the girls got up.
He slumped back in his chair, the tiredness washing over him, eyes dry and muscles aching.
I know you don't want to see it, Walk, Vincent and Star and all that. But Dark, the guy can be an asshole, but he's not what you think he is.
Or maybe what you want him to be.
What do I want him to be? The guy that makes Vincent King innocent. When she was done with the corral, she moved on to the stable. The smell of shit, not so bad anymore. Two horses, a black and a smaller gray. They had no names, that's what Hal said when Robin asked.
He'd been puzzled by that. Everyone needs a name.
Mucking out, scooping damp straw and shit and bagging it, fetching a small packed bale from the store and forking it out and over. She knew to leave the wet spots, let them dry before she covered them over. She filled her water, gave grain twice a day, same exact time. The gray could get colic. She led them to their place and closed the gate, sometimes watching them run hard, then kick and thrash like they were about to be roped. Duchess liked horses, as every outlaw should. Gunshot. It shook the calm from Duchess with such force she fell to her knees. The elk, 1 foot raised, heads tilted, and then they scattered and ran, so fast they were gone by the time she stood. She sprinted for the house, heart hammering as her mind ran to dark. She calmed a little when she saw Hal on the porch, but his face was drawn with worry. He's upstairs in the closet. She took the stairs fast into their room and saw him on the floor, the blanket over his head. Robin? She didn't touch him just yet. Instead, scooted herself under till she was close. Robin, she spoke softly. It's all right.
I heard it.
So quiet, she leaned in.
What did you hear?
The gun. I heard it. I heard it again.
That afternoon, Hal led them down to the Red Barn and told them to wait out in the sun. Duchess walked over to the door, peeked through the crack, and saw Hal roll the mat back. Grandpa said to wait here, she hushed her brother. Hal pulled up a door in the floor and stepped down. He returned with a gun. He held it loose in his hand by his side, a small tin box in his other hand. Duchess stood close to her brother.
This is a Springfield 1911. It's a handgun, light and accurate. Every farmer needs a gun. What you heard before was just hunters. It's important you get used to the sound. I don't want you to be afraid.
He knelt and held the gun out to them. Robin took a step behind Duchess's leg.
It's not loaded and the safety is on.
After a minute, Duchess reached out and took it, colder than she thought. Heavy when he said it was light. She studied it with care, then Robin stepped out and looked. He ran a finger over the handle.
You want to try shooting, Duchess?
Duchess looked down at the gun, her mind on her mother, the hole torn in her chest. She thought of Vincent King.
Yes.
Out to the green field, crops no higher than Duchess's ankle. Beyond, they came to the first of the cedars, tall, ladders to the sky. On a trunk, wider than them both, were a smattering of marks, pocks, neat and ordered, leaves long dead and settled, green moss crept to fallen sticks, and puddles that shone with the canopies above them. Hal led them back 50 paces, removed 4 bullets, and showed them the chamber as he loaded. He ran through the safety in sight, the correct 2 hands and how to breathe nice and even, and then he handed each a pair of ear protectors. The first time Hal fired, Robin jumped clear back, and Duchess held him. The second, he did it again. Third and fourth, a little less. Duchess loaded next, Hal instructing. She handled the bullets with care, like he said, but her heart still quickened, the memories fluid, carrying her back so totally. Walk and the other cops, her brother, the tape and the news vans, and the noise. She missed 6 in a row, each time yanking her hand back from the kick instead of planting her feet. Robin grew bolder, still clutching Hal's hand, but not turning his head. She loaded again, this time only the forest noise with her, Hal watching close but letting her figure it out. The first time she hit the tree, she took a chunk from the edge. Then she put 2 in the center, Robin whooping and clapping.
You can shoot, Hal said.
She turned back before he could see the small smile. She worked her way through the box till she could sink them into the middle of the cedar or a little higher or lower. And then Hal moved her back 20 paces, and she learned all over again. Correcting the angle, shooting as she knelt, then from her stomach, devoid of emotion, adrenaline, the human traits that ruined finesse. As they walked back toward the farmhouse, Robin ran on ahead to check on his birds. The chickens. He collected the eggs each morning, his job alone, and he lived for it. Duchess watched the land as the sun began its drop, not low enough to splinter the colors, but she felt the heat dying. Summer was breathing its last. Hal said fall was spectacular. She drew up by the gray, who came to her. Duchess stroked her gently.
She doesn't come for me, Hal said. She likes you, and she doesn't like many people.
Duchess said nothing. Not wanting to fall into conversation, not wanting to lose that fire that kept her moving through each day.
That night, she ate dinner alone on the porch, stomach tight as she listened, as Hal laughed at something Robin said. It was moments like those that came for her and dragged her back to the Cape. The old man laughing, smiling, after what his grandchildren had been through. A bond was forming. She walked back into the kitchen, opened the cabinet, and pulled a bottle of Jim Beam from the top shelf. She took it down to the lake, unscrewed the cap, and drank. She did not flinch at the burn. She thought of Vincent King, drank some more, then dark, and drank again. She drank and drank till the pain eased, her muscles unwound, and the world began to spin. Problems melted, edges softened. She lay flat on her back and closed her eyes, feeling her mother. An hour till she puked, another till Hal found her. Through the haze, she saw his eyes, those watery blue eyes, as he gently scooped her up. "I hate you," she said in a whisper. He kissed her head as she pressed her cheek to his chest and let the dark find her. Chapter 16. If houses had souls, Star's place was black as a December night. Walk figured Dark would have got on as soon as they released it, maybe freshened it up for a new tenant, or just pulled the place down and started over. But it stood untouched, the street door replaced with plywood, a window popped out and boarded up. The grass was long and yellowed.
"I know you miss her, Walk, I do too, and the kids."
Walk didn't need to turn, he smelled the blood right off.
"Any news on Vincent King? I thought they would have charged him by now. Newspapers say he'll be put to death when they find him guilty."
Walk tensed a little. Last he'd heard, the DA asked Boyd to have another look for the murder weapon. With the parole violation, Vincent wasn't going anywhere. Time was on their side.
"I like the beard, by the way. Nice, real nice. It's coming in thick. I could grow one, you know. We could both have beards. That'd be funny, right, Walk?"
"Sure, Milton." Milton wore sweats and an undershirt. The thick hair swirled from his shoulders down to the backs of his hands.
"This place, what happened here, it's frightening, right? Blood and all. It's all right when it's an animal. I mean, vegans see it different, but then they'll eat the white meat so long as it's sliced thin enough."
Walk scratched his head at that.
"But Star, when I think of her lying there," Milton clutched his stomach. "Don't worry, I've been watching the place. If I see kids or anything, I'll call it in. 1054.
Livestock on highway." Milton turned and headed back across the street, shuffling feet, that metallic smell trailing him. Walk headed up the path and banged on Brandon Rock's garage door. It opened to a blaze of light, Van Halen playing loud, the strong smell of sweat and cologne. Brandon wore lycra pants, a muscle top cropped just below his chest.
"Walk, that you talking to Sasquatch just now?
You fixed that engine yet?"
"Was he bitching again? You know, I applied to do a little work on the house. I wanted to open the back, put a dojo above the garage. Guess who lodged an objection?"
Brandon opened a bottle of water and dumped half the contents over his head.
"Cool down, I earned it."
"Fix the car, Brandon."
"You remember him at school, Walk? I was dating Julia Martin at the time, and she said Milton used to follow her home. Fucking creeped her out."
"That was 30 years ago." Brandon stepped out and stared at the old Radley house.
"I wish I'd been here that night. Maybe I could have done something. I don't know."
Walk had read the interview, brief as it was. They'd gone door to door.
"So you were away that night?" "Just like I told the lady from state. Ed Tallow had me out with clients looking to build on the edge of town. You heard? Japanese. You know how they like to party."
"Right."
Brandon worked his right arm. "Keeping it strong. When I get surgery on the knee, I'll be tossing again."
Walk didn't touch that one. Brandon punched his arm gently, then headed back into the garage. He closed the door, cutting the light and muffling the noise. Walk stepped across into Star's front yard, steeling himself as that night came back to him. He felt the tremor in his body, put it down to the memories and nothing more, and then
walked down the side of the house. He opened the side gate, never locked, not in the cape, and then he stopped still when he heard the noise within. He pressed close, peered in the window, and saw the flashlight. Up onto the porch, he drew his gun and was about to move through. Walk took a step back. The man towered over him.
Dark. The stare, no words. You scared me.
Walk holstered the gun as Dark sat on the bench.
Walk joined him, sat beside without an invite.
What are you doing here?
It's my house.
Right?
Walk was more than accustomed to the heat, but still wiped sweat from his head. I heard you spoke with the state cops. I read the report, but I wanted to talk to you myself.
I was going to call, but now you've saved me the trouble.
The kids, how are they doing?
He searched for the words.
I wanted to talk to the girl.
Walk stared at him then, his body stiffening.
Why? Tell her I'm sorry.
For what exactly?
She lost a parent. She's tough, right? He spoke slow, like each word was chosen with great care.
She's a child. Moonlight found them through the trees.
Where'd they go?
A long way from here. Giant hands rested on giant thighs. Walk thought about moving through life like that, crowds parting, people staring.
Tell me about her.
Duchess?
Dark nodded. She's 13, yes?
Walk cleared his throat. We got a couple of calls over the years. Hilltop Middle. People said they saw a car sitting by the school fence, black car. No one ever took the plates.
I've got a black car, Chief Walker.
I know.
You ever think about the things you've done?
Sure.
And the things you know you'll have to do?
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Dark looked to the moon.
You know there's rumors about you, Dickie?
Yes.
People say you're violent.
I am violent. You tell them that.
Walk felt his throat dry as the big man kept his eyes skyward.
I see you at the church, Dark said.
I don't see you.
I don't go inside.
What do you pray for? Walk rested a hand on his gun. A fit and just end.
Hope is secular, and life is fragile, and sometimes we hold on too tight, even though we know it'll break.
Dark got to his feet, casting Walk into shadow.
If you speak to the girl, you tell her I've been thinking about her.
I've still got questions.
I told those state cops everything. You call my lawyer if you need anything else.
And Vincent, you know about the house? He's thinking about selling. Any idea why he changed his mind?
Maybe he found his price. Tragedy brings clarity of thought. I'm talking to the bank. I'll get the money.
He turned and left. Walk stood and pressed close to the glass and reached for his flashlight. The kitchen, every unit pulled down, ceiling panels popped, drywall punched through in spots. Whatever else Dark had been doing there, one thing was certain. He'd been searching for something. Summer bled from Montana faster than it had in the Cape, first in small drips, then the deluge of shaded mornings, brooding dusk. Duchess received a postcard from Walk, just a photo taken from the Cabrillo Highway. He wrote on the back in blue pen, his scrawl in shaking hand, so bad she almost could not read it.
I think of you both.
Walk. She tacked it to the wall behind her bed. She still did not speak to the old man, instead muttering to the gray horse. It became an exercise. She'd talk about the things she did not want to, Dark and Vincent. The time she fished vomit from her mother's mouth with her fingers. The time she and Robin practiced the recovery position beneath the Okami cherry at Littlebrook. Some nights she sat on the stairs and listened as Hal spoke to Walk on the telephone. Robin's coming along, loves the animals. He sleeps well. He eats well. That shrink, she said he's doing better. Half hour each week, he doesn't complain. And then the change, the swing reaching its high and coming back down, middling the gains. She's still here, Walk.
She does her jobs, and she doesn't complain. Some days I lose her to the land. She crosses the barley, and she's just gone. I panicked. At first, I ran down the lines, crossed the dirt, and drove the truck around. I found her on her knees. There's a spot by the wheat, away from the water and hidden. It's hollowed out, a space I made for a barn, but never needed. And she was there on her knees, and I couldn't see her face, but I think she was praying.
She made sure not to go back to that place. She'd already scoped out a new one, a clearing and forest so thick she knew Hal would not find her again.
She looked back at the night when her mother died, and she thought maybe she'd been in shock each day since. But the grief came now, slowly, each hour, little by little, catching her out when she needed to be strong. Some days she screamed. When she was deep, half hour from the farmhouse, from her brother and his ruddy cheeks as he helped dig the soil, she'd tilt her head back and scream to the clouds. The kind of scream that saw the gray straighten, head up in her field, long neck so graceful. When she was done, she'd raise a hand to the horse, tell her go on, eat the grass. At night in the dark, they talked.
"Those cops," Robin said.
"Yeah?"
"They thought I was lying to them."
"That's just the way cops look."
"Walk doesn't look like that."
She didn't argue.
But whatever he was, the guy that came and filled their refrigerator and drove them to the movie theater, he was still a cop. "How did it go today?" she said, same each week. "She's nice. She let me call her Clara. She's got 4 cats and 2 dogs." "Imagine that."
"Hasn't found the right man. Did you talk about that night?"
"I couldn't. It's just, I try, but there's nothing there at all. I just remember you reading to me, then sleep. Then I think maybe I woke in Walk's car."
She leaned up on her elbow as he rolled to the flat of his back.
"If you ever do remember hearing something, you should tell me first. I'll decide what we do about it. You can't trust these cops now, or Hal. We've only got each other."
Each afternoon, she fired the gun.
Hal took her to the spot with the wide tree,
Robin leading them now, unafraid.
She still spoke only when she had to, and when she did, she aimed for the gut. Something about God or abandonment, but Hal took it different now. The barbs did not grip, the hook slipping harmlessly from his skin. She let him know she did not love him and never would never call him anything but his sanitary given name, and would think nothing about taking Robin and leaving him to die alone the second she was old enough. His response was to teach her to drive. The old truck bumping along wildly, the flattest acres saw her speed climb and Hal's hands tighten on the seat. Behind them, Robin sat on his booster watching them, wearing his bicycle helmet and elbow pads, because Hal worried she'd roll it. She got the hang of stick, not grinding out the gears so much, feeling the bite like he told her. Some days she got to 60 before he scolded her, when his eyes were on the sky like there was too much of the day now, waiting on first rain. A weekend and she could bring the truck to a stop without Hal slamming hard into the dash, cursing for forgetting to belt himself in. After they'd walk back toward the house, Duchess holding Robin's left hand, Hal his right. Hal would tell her she did good, and she would tell him he was a lousy teacher. He would say she handled the run smoothly, and she would say his truck was a piece of shit. He would promise to take her out the next day, and she would say nothing to that because, well, she liked to drive. Some mornings she'd catch the old man watching Robin eat or watching him with the chickens or climbing on the harrow, and he'd get this look in his eyes that was part love and part regret. In those times, she'd fight to hate him, a fight she'd won with ease when they'd arrived, but now a fight she was having to put more and more into. She still kept her clothes in a case, folded neat. Sometimes he'd do the laundry, and she'd yell at him to leave their shit alone. She'd find their clothes hung in the closet, and she'd take them down and return them to the case. He'd buy the wrong kind of toothpaste for Robin, and she'd yell at him. The wrong kind of shampoo, the wrong brand of breakfast cereal. She'd yell so much her throat would hurt. Through it, Robin would watch. Sometimes he'd ask for quiet, and she'd give it. She'd walk the acres and curse at the dropping sun like a fucking mad girl. She gave less thought to Vincent King, to Dickie Dark. They were turned pages in the darkest chapters of her life. She knew they would appear again,
the twists, the sting in her tail. Most of all, she felt tired, not from the work or the sleep, just from the wretched hatred that lived so deep inside her. Chapter 17.
I need to carry a gun to school.
No. Hal was anxious that first morning. Robin was anxious, too. He had questions about the school, about where he'd meet her and what would happen if she didn't show. There was no bus that ran out as far as their land, so Hal said he would drive them and collect them. He groused about it, eating into his day, till Duchess told him they'd hitch a ride with a rapist trucker instead, or maybe she'd sell her body to raise cash for a taxi.
Will the other kids like me?
You're a prince.
Of course, Hal said. And if they don't, then they'll deal with your sister.
And yet you still won't let me pack. She finished her cereal, then checked Robin's school bag, made sure he had his pencil case and his water bottle. Hal let her drive the truck, just to the point where the gum trees folded over the sky. She left it idling as she climbed from her seat and Hal climbed from his. They crossed at the trunk, Hal nodding once and Duchess nodding a return.
You watch out for each other, he said,
eyes on the road.
In case the big kids take our lunch money,
Robin said, perking up and wide-eyed.
They can try. I'm the outlaw Duchess Day Radley, and I'll put a bullet between their eyes.
You need to learn to ride the gray if you want to be an outlaw, Hal said.
You know nothing. I can ride. It's in my blood.
I did some reading on Billy Blue Radley once. Duchess looked over, the scowl replaced by interest.
If you want, I could tell you about him sometime.
Okay.
It was not a truce or offering. Robin tensed when they moved into the turn, the bus and the parents, noise and SUVs. She saw a Ford with muddied wheels and a Mercedes too shiny. She thought of Dark, his Escalade, his fading promise.
You want me to walk in?
Hal drew the truck up to the curb.
No, people might think you're our father. The bullying would be merciless.
She took Robin's bag and his hand, and they emptied into the street.
I'll be here at 3, Hal said from the window.
We don't get out till 3:15, Robin said.
I'll still be here.
They moved between groups of kids, tanned from the summer and catching up with loud, exaggerated stories. She caught pieces that made a similar whole, vacations and beaches and theme parks. They drew looks, and she gave them back. She led Robin to his classroom and took him inside. A cluster of mothers knelt and kissed and fussed over their children. A little boy was crying.
He'll be the wuss. Don't hang around with him, Duchess said.
The teacher was young, smiling as she made rounds, kneeling and shaking small hands. Duchess led Robin to the pegs and found his name and his animal picture above.
What animal is it?
Duchess squinted. Rat.
That's a mouse, the teacher said, appearing beside.
Duchess shrugged.
Vermin is vermin.
The teacher knelt by them, took Robin's hand and shook it lightly.
I'm Miss Child and you must be Robin. I've been so looking forward to meeting you.
Duchess nudged him.
Thank you kindly, he said. And you must be Duchess.
I'm the outlaw Duchess Day Radley.
Duchess pumped the teacher's hand so hard she left it white.
Well, I hope you have a lovely day, Miss Duchess,
Miss Child said, affecting a sweet drawl.
Your brother and I are going to have lots of fun today, right, Robin?
Yes.
Miss Child left them and went back to the crying boy. Duchess bent to her brother and met his eye, cupped his face till he stayed locked onto her.
Any shit at all, you come find me. You just go into the hall and you scream my name. I'll be close.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah,
he said a little firmer.
Okay.
She stood.
Duchess?
She turned to him.
I wish Mom was here.
Outside in the halls, thinning with stragglers, boys carried a football, red-faced and sweaty. She found her classroom and took a seat by the window, far enough back to keep from being called up.
You're my seat.
He was tall, odd angles, his shirt coming up small and his shorts high.
You borrow your sister's shorts?
Keep walking, motherfucker.
He blushed, turned and went to a seat on the other side of the room. Beside her was a black boy, so thin she guessed he carried worms or some other parasite. He had a hand twisted into something that no longer looked like a hand.
He caught her noticing and stuffed it into his pocket. He smiled. She looked away.
I'm Thomas Noble, you remember me?
The teacher came in.
What's your name?
Quiet now, I'm here to learn.
That's a funny name.
She silently willed him to burst into flames.
I saw you that time in town. You're the angel with the golden hair.
If you knew anything at all, you'd know I'm about as far from an angel as you can get. Now shut the fuck up and face forward. Walk sat in the parking lot, window open to the smell of Mexican food. It was late. Floods and moonlight replaced the sun as the sky purpled over the bitter water sprawl. He'd been to see Vincent again, 3 hours in the airless waiting room, with nothing but CNN and a busted fan for company. And then he'd sat with him for 14 minutes, and for each of those, he'd begged and pleaded with the man to retain counsel, a criminal lawyer who could at least stand a chance of finding the truth. Vincent had said it was Martha May or no one, and though Walk said it, that she wanted no part of either of them or Cape Haven and the memories it stirred, Vincent had said nothing more. And then he'd called the guard and Walk had watched him leave. The light still burned in Martha's office despite the late hour, despite her secretary leaving a couple hours ago. Walk had tried to get out of the car, felt dizzy enough to sit back and close his eyes for a while. He tried to call Kendrick, left a message, then checked the leaflet that came with his medication. The side effects were long enough to fill out 2 pages. When he saw her emerge from the office, he climbed out and walked slowly across the lot. It was emptying, last cars leaving, a couple of old beat-up sedans outside the Mexican, and then Martha's car, a gray Prius with a WWF bumper sticker. Walk remembered she liked animals. On her 15th birthday, they'd cut school with Vincent and Star and gone to the petting zoo at Clearwater Cove. It was full of little kids, but Martha had smiled the whole day. Martha, he called. She saw him, tossed her case into the trunk, and then stood and waited as he walked over, hand on her hip, like she was more than ready.
I don't see you in years, and now it's twice in a month.
I want to buy you dinner. He said it with a confidence that surprised him, and maybe her, because slowly she smiled. Yellow walls and green arches, small tables with checkered cloths. A fan spun slow, moving the smell of chili around the tired bar behind. They took a table in the corner by the window with a view of the parking lot. Martha ordered for them tacos and beer. She hadn't lost her girl-next-door smile, and when she aimed it, the waiter hurried. Walk sipped the cold beer and felt his muscles unwind, that tightness across his shoulders ease a little as he sank into the chair. Music played quietly, something soft and Latino. They drank in silence, Martha draining her beer, then signaling for another.
I'll take a cab home.
I didn't say anything.
Geez, I'm drinking with a cop.
He laughed. The waiter brought over the food, and they ate. It was good. Better than Walk had hoped for, but still, he pushed his food around, barely eating. Martha dumped half a bottle of hot sauce on her food.
Zing me, baby. You want in on this, Chief?
Not unless you want to continue this conversation in the restroom.
Have you seen the restroom?
I'm sure I will later.
I like the beard.
He rolled his eyes.
I'm sorry, she said. The other night it had been a long day and I wasn't expecting you.
I should be apologizing to you.
You totally should.
He laughed.
So, you want to get it over with now or you want to wait till I've had another beer?
I'll wait. This time she laughed, and it was the sweetest sound Walk had heard in a while. He took a breath and told her. Everything, from Vincent's release, to Star, to Dickie Dark and Duchess, and Robin. He told her about the state cops and how they cut him out. And he told her details of the case that hadn't been released. Broken ribs, swollen eye, no murder weapon, Vincent unwilling to speak. She wiped tears from her eyes, reached across and took Walk's hand when he told her about the funeral.
Shit,
she said when he was done. What a mess. Star, the way her life turned out. Back then, I thought we'd be friends forever. I don't blame you for not looking back.
Is that what you think?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean...
I looked back plenty. I just couldn't go back.
Right.
And Vincent still says he only wants me.
He trusts you.
The only other lawyer that worked for him was Felix Koch, and look how that turned out. You know the kind of cases I handle, Walk? Battered wives? Adoption? A little divorce work? I do whatever I can to pay the bills each month. And after that, I pick and choose who needs me the most. I have a line of women whose sole purpose in life is to get their children back.
Vincent needs you.
Vincent needs a criminal attorney.
He moved to pick up his beer, felt the shake in his hands, and set it down again.
Everything all right, Walk?
Tired. I haven't been sleeping much.
It's a lot to take.
Please do this, Martha. I know how it looks. I can see it, me showing up and asking for a favor. Believe me, it hurts.
I believe you.
I can't give up on him. Just come to the arraignment, stand by him while they charge, and then we can sort something out. We'll make him see sense. I know he didn't do it. And I know how that sounds, like the words of a desperate man, but that doesn't make me wrong. I need to figure things out. I need time to look into everything.
I've thought about you over the years. Every day I think about you and us and everything that went on back then. I know I can't fix things or roll back the clock, but I can help Vincent now. But I can't do it without you.
He slumped back, exhausted, spent.
The arraignment, when is it?
Tomorrow.
Jesus, Walk!